May the Lord bless that message and song, and our sister brought it to us. It's a pleasure and a privilege for me to be back here in Faith Free Presbyterian Church and have this opportunity of ministering to you from God's precious and holy word. I want you to turn with me to the last book of the New Testament and of the Bible, 22nd chapter of the book of the Revelation. I want to read a few verses from this passage of God's precious and holy word. Reading from verse 16 of the 22nd chapter of Revelation. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And God shall stamp with his own divine seal of approval this reading from the infallible book. Let's stand to our feet for a word of prayer before the preaching of the word. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy written word. We thank Thee for the divine revelation. We thank Thee for the wisdom of God therein revealed. And especially for the unveiling and unfolding of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of thy word. And oh God, forbid that we should be hearers only. May we be doers of thy word. To this end I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take. Thank God he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen. At the time that is at my disposal today, I want to preach upon the last passage of God's word, verses 20 and 21. Of Revelation chapter 22. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. It's not very hard to see that in this final passage of Scripture, there are five last things underscored and underlined. When you open the Bible, We have that great verse in Genesis chapter 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And in that verse, there are three things that are underlined and underscored. There's the period in the beginning. There is the person, God. And there is the program creating the heaven and the earth. And I would suggest to you that it is significant that Genesis 1:1 strikes the number 3. For 3 in Scripture is the number of completion. And it's the beginning of a complete book. And now the book is completed. And we're looking at the final climax of the book. And of course, it would have to finish with the note of grace. Because this book comes to us as a revelation of the grace of Almighty God. And 5 in Scripture is, of course, the great number of grace. Now let's look at these 5 last things. First of all, you have the last precept. He that testifieth these things saith. Then you have the last prophecy. Surely I come quickly. Then you have the last prayer. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Then you have the last promise. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And then you have the last praise. Amen. A note of praise concluding the book. Let's look at them. The last precept, he which testifieth these things. Now the whole Bible is a testimony. It is a testimony of Christ, and it is a testimony by Christ. And the whole Bible, as it unfolds over a period of 1,500 years that it took in its writing, unfolds and reveals a testimony about Christ and a testimony of Christ. We could start at the beginning and see the first glimmerings of the unfolding of Christ's testimony. What is the first testimony of Christ in the book? Turn over to Genesis at the 3rd chapter. And in this 3rd chapter, we read these words. Verse 8 of chapter 3 of Genesis. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Notice the expression carefully. The voice walked. Who is the voice? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Here we have a pre-incarnation appearance, a Christophany, an appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word, the eternal Word. He's walking in the garden. What is his testimony? His testimony is this: Adam, where art thou? And the first testimony of Christ is one of infinite compassion and seeking that which was lost. The Son of Man is come to seek and to see of that which was lost. That was true of his advent when he became permanently incarnate in the flesh. But it is true of every Christophany that's in the Old Testament scriptures. He's come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so in the whole unfolding of the Bible, there is this testimony of the things concerning Christ. But now, the book is climax. The unfolding is all over. There is nothing else to be revealed. And let me say to you today, this is where the charismatic heresy or apostasy perishes on the rocks, because Christ is God's final revelation. And there's not another word needs to be added to this book. The book is finished. God, who in sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. God has nothing else to say to this world but Jesus Christ. That's the final word. And this book finishes in this word of testimony, this last precept. You see, the Bible is written line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. But all the lines have been written. All the precepts have been written. All the littles have gone into the one great final combination of the final word of God. And God has nothing more to say to this old world. God has spoken unto us by a Son. Thank God we have heard that word. The world hasn't heard it, but we have heard it. And we have handled the word of life. And we have tasted and seen that the Lord is gracious. Now, I'd like to spend a lot of time on that first point, because there are many things in the unfolding of the testimony of Christ that are well worth thinking about. Let me give you a little thought. You can develop it in your own. The ark was called the ark of testimony. It was called the ark of testimony. Do you remember what was in the ark? The tables of stone with the commandments of God. You see, one day God put his commandments on the tables of stone, and he gave them to Moses. And Moses came down the mountain with the tables of stone in his hand, and he broke them. Because God's commandments will always be broken in the hands of men. But when God rewrote the law, he said, you'll put those stones for safekeeping into the ark. The ark is the ark of testimony, a perfect type of the Lord Jesus Christ, made of wood, symbolizing his humanity, overlaid with gold, signifying his deity. And praise God, the tables of stone were perfectly kept in the bosom of that ark. The law of God is perfectly kept in the heart of Jesus. He's the spotless, crimeless, flawless, sinless Son of God. Hallelujah, what a Savior. He has kept God's testimony perfectly. But we mustn't go up side alleyways today. We must keep on the main road. So we'll come to the second one, the last prophecy. Surely I come quickly. There are three things here. There's the certainty of his coming, surely. There's the character of his coming, quickly. And there's the centrality of his coming. Christ is coming. Now, there are a lot of people today, and they're taking up with events in Advent. Now, I believe the church of Jesus Christ needs to be taken up with the advent rather than the events. Tell me, are we really looking for his coming? You know, if you look down this chapter, you'll find in verse 7, it says, "Behold, I come quickly." Then I want you to notice in verse 12, it says, "Behold, I come quickly." And then, of course, in our text, it says, "Surely, I come quickly." Of course, this is a complete message. Three definite statements that the Lord is coming. Now look at the first one. You'll find that the first one is related to the book. "Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." If I'm going to have a right view of the Lord's coming, it must be the Bible view of the Lord's coming. I must have a Bible view of the Lord's coming. And notice it's linked with blessing. "Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Then come to verse 12. And you'll notice in verse 12, it is related to service. "Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." I cannot work for Christ in keeping with the will of God except I know and understand the book of God. The way to do God's work is to do it in God's way. How do I know God's way? I know God's way through God's book. And I tell you, we need to get back to doing God's work in God's way, not in man's way. And then we come to the last verse, and it says, "Surely I come quickly." I would like to emphasize that it's the King of Kings that is coming. It's the Lord of Lords that is coming. It's the Lamb of God that is coming. It's the Prince of the Kings of the Earth that's coming. It's the owner of the golden scepter that's coming. It's the wielder of the rod of iron that's coming. It's the opener of the graves that is coming. It's the smasher of the prison house that's coming. It's the conqueror of the devil and the false prophet and the Antichrist, the beast that's coming. It's Jesus Christ, personally, gloriously, visibly, that's coming again. Jesus is coming again. Surely I come quickly. I want you to notice the Lord makes his own announcement here. There is no need for a John the Baptist to run before him and to announce as a forerunner he's coming. The Lord himself takes up the trumpet. The Lord himself blows this trumpet blast at the end of the book. And he says, "Surely I come quickly." Would to God the church would hear that message today. Would to God every believer would hear that message today. My, that trumpet would knock down the Jericho walls that a lot of believers are hiding behind. That trumpet blast would search out the compromise and the sins that do so easily beset us. Nothing can stand before this majestic, sovereign announcement. I am coming. I am coming. Jesus Christ, God's Son, who appeared once to put away sin, but shall appear a second time without sin, unto the salvation, the final salvation of his people. The last prophecy, "Surely I come quickly." Then let's look at the last prayer. Now I have a difficulty here. I don't know whether this amen should come in the prophecy or in the prayer. I am inclined to think that it comes in the prayer. That the first thing that the church says when the Lord says, "I come quickly," the church says, "Amen. So let it be. Lord, come." Amen. Or it could be that it is the seal of the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ's last amen in the scripture. You know the words that we use, verily, verily. That's the same word, amen, amen, I say unto you. And if you study the Gospel of John, you'll find a whole series of double amens. So it could be that it's linked to the prophecy. I will take it linked to the prayer here. Amen. Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come Lord Jesus. Or reading very literally from the original text. Yes, surely come Lord Jesus. Yes, surely come Lord Jesus. 60 years ago, before John wrote this, he laid his head upon the Savior's bosom. He heard the heartbeat of the incarnate God in the flesh before he went to Gethsemane and before he went to Calvary. And how the exiled John longed for the coming again of his beloved. And when the beloved said to John here, surely I come quickly. There was no tarrying. There was no waiting. There was a ready response. A prayer burst from his inmost soul. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. I cannot wait any longer. I cannot tarry any longer. Oh Lord, burst the clouds and come. How many prayer meetings have you been in where the people have prayed for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it because the church is getting things too easy? Is it because the world has entered into the church and the church into the world, and we're feeling that we're having it quite all right down here on earth? And we're not upon our knees saying, even so come, Lord Jesus. When last did you pray for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? When last did your soul say, O Lord, tarry no longer. O my Savior, my Lord and my God, come. Come. Come quickly. Come, Lord Jesus. I'm afraid that because the church is in an unspiritual state, we haven't got this prayer continually upon our lips. Do we not want the Lord to come to vindicate his glorious person? I've often prayed this prayer when I've been in a protest. And I have said, Lord, if you would only come now, man, you would shut up that apostate who's lying about your virgin birth and your precious blood. You know, there's a day coming when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. I want to tell you, there'll be no modernists in hell, because they'll be all fundamentalists before they go into the pit. Do you know that? Yes. Every old modernist preacher that spent his life denying the book, before he's damned in hell, he'll confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It'll be too late, of course, for salvation. It will be a confession for condemnation. You need to confess Christ in time to be saved. But at the judgment bar, they'll all confess him. They'll all believe the fundamentals before they go to hell. There'll be no Unitarians in the pit. They'll all believe in the Trinity when they're damned. There'll not be one man in hell. He'll not believe in the verbal inspiration of the Word of God. They'll all have come to that conclusion. In fact, the great high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ says that they all might be one, that the world might believe. Will the world believe? Yes. That text of Scripture is a revelation of the judgment day. If you want to read a good sermon on that, read Spurgeon's sermon on that text of Scripture. I read Spurgeon's sermons. I read them every day. They do my soul good. And sometimes I preach a little of Spurgeon. I don't do it intentionally, but it gets into the mind and into the heart. You read that great sermon of Spurgeon, that's a judgment day text. There's a day when we will stand with Christ in the blessed unity of the one church of Jesus Christ, redeemed by precious blood. And as we stand there with our risen, adorable Lord, the world will then believe. For the coming, the first coming of Christ. Did you ever think of it that Jesus Christ came the first time in answer to an old woman's prayer? Did you ever think about that? But that's true. You read the gospel according to Luke. In fact, all the woman folks should read the gospel according to Luke, because it's the gospel of the woman. There's more about woman in the gospel of Luke than in any other book. I have a little book called A Look at Luke's Book. I would commend it to the ladies, because it's all about women in the Gospels. And there was an old woman. She was unknown. She never made the headlines. She was just an old woman in her widowhood, and she kept praying for Jesus to come. And Jesus came in answer to an old woman's prayer. What a place of glory Anna's going to have in the galaxy of the stars that shine in God's firmament forevermore. I want to join Anna in the prayer line to pray for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even so come, Lord Jesus. We cannot tarry any longer in this wilderness of sin. We cannot remain any longer happy in the circumstances of living. Lord Jesus, come. Vindicate your glory. Smite the apostasy. Clean up this old age of ours. Lord Jesus, come. May God give us a burden to pray this last prayer. And then we have the last promise. And the last promise is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. When I was a student, I learned a definition of grace. It's out of a book by Griffith Thomas. Grace is the free, undeserved, unmerited favor of God, working in full compliance with the exact and unchangeable demands of his own nature through the death of Christ upon the cross. Grace is more than love. It is love set absolutely free and made triumphant over the righteous claims of God against the sinner. That's what the grace of God is. It's the free love of God. Grace! The last verse of the Old Testament ends on the word curse. And it ends with the advent of Christ as well. He'll come to smite the earth with a curse. The last verse of Malachi. But this Bible ends, thank God, in the note of grace. Grace. That's why I'm here. That's why you're here. The grace of God alone. And I want you to notice, it's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's Lord. That's his deity. He's Jesus. That's his humanity. But deity and humanity joined and anointed makes him Christ. He's the anointed God-man. What was he anointed to do? He was anointed to be our prophet, to bring God's word to us, to be our priest, to die for us, and to be our king, to subdue all his and our enemies. And praise God, he's done the job. And he's coming as prophet, priest, and king. There's no other prophet but Jesus. No other priest but Jesus. No other king but Jesus. The covenanters said, Christ alone saves.
But they also said, Christ alone reigns. He is the King. And the King is coming. The grace of our. Do you like that little word, our? Can you say, yes, he's our Lord Jesus Christ? 10,000 charms around him shine, but best of all, I know he's mine. Do you know him today? Is he yours? That's the great question that you need to ask yourself today. Is he yours? That's the last promise. And it's a good promise. And praise God, we have proved it. The grace of God has been with us. And then we have the note of praise. Amen. Amen. If you turn over to the 7th chapter of Revelation, you will find there the praise of heaven. And in the praise of heaven, in the 7th chapter of Revelation, you'll find the praise of heaven starts with an amen. And it finishes with an amen. Revelation chapter 7 verse 12, saying amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. The praise of heaven starts with an amen and it finishes with an amen. Turn over to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 14, and you'll find that the amen is Christ. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the amen. The praise of heaven starts with Christ. The praise of heaven continues with Christ. And the praise of heaven has its unending ending in Christ. The book ends with Christ. He's the last word. Amen. The note of praise. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. I will ever give him glory, for his blood has washed away my stain. I will praise him. Let's strike that note of praise today. Could I take you across the tiny Jordan stream that divides the visible world from the invisible? Could we stand at the edge of the sea of glass and listen to the harpers harping on their harps? Could we see those millions of angels and trillions of washed white-robed ones, all joining in one great crescendo of infinite praise to the infinite God? And what is the theme of their praise? It's the Lamb for sinners slain. The bride eyes not her garment, said Rutherford, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze on glory, but on the King of grace, not at the crown he gifteth, but on the pierced hand. For the Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. May God help us to affirm today a mighty amen of praise to God's Lamb who made it all possible. Let's remember the last precept. Let's remember the last prophecy. Let's remember the last prayer. Let's remember the last promise. But let's make sure that we'll have a part in the last praise. May God bless his word. Amen and amen.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all let's bow before the Lord as we come to the close. I wonder if you're saved, if you will have a part in that praise of the Lamb. If you're not washed in the precious blood of Christ, if you don't have a part in that company of redeemed ones, there's not a better place and there's not a better time for you to come to Christ. I trust that you'll not leave this meeting unsaved. I trust that just this very morning you'll remain and have a word with us. Let us open the scriptures of truth with you. And through the written word, let's point you to the incarnate word, the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that time has gone. We're not going to have a closing hymn. We're going to have a word of prayer. But my friend, don't go without Christ. If you're a backslider, you must be miserable. If you're out of fellowship with the Savior, oh, come back to Him today. May the Lord bless His word to all our hearts. We're glad to have our brother, Reverend Steve Worth, with us this morning, a missionary from Scotland. We're going to ask Mr. Worth if he'll lead us now in the closing word of prayer and dismiss us with the Lord's blessing, following which there will be the Sunday school hour to follow. And there's a class for all of you, and you'll certainly be welcome to remain for the Sunday school hour. Mr. Worth's going to lead us in prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for that precious word that we've heard this morning. We thank you for a precious Savior that loved us and gave Himself for us. And our Father, our hearts have been stirred as we've heard that word today concerning the coming again of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And our Father, we thank you that Jesus shall reign. We thank you that He's Lord of all just now. He's King of kings and Lord of all. And our Father, we would ask that Thou would enable us to truly pray. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. And Father, that Thou would stir our souls with our desire to serve Jesus Christ in the light of His coming. And Father, that we might please and honor and magnify that wonderful name which is above every name. We do ask Thee now to dismiss us with Thy blessing. And our Father, again, if there be anyone here that knows not Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, might the Spirit of God so move and convict of sin, Father, that they'd realize the grace of God is so irresistible and flee and run to Jesus Christ, repenting of their sin and trusting Him as their Lord and their Savior. And we'll be careful to praise you and to thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.